This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to another one of our MTS series of talks. And tonight we have with us on stage two chefs from two different parts of the world to share their wisdom with us on a topic which is probably at the tip of all our tongues, but we really don't know how to articulate this. How do we find a balance in our lives in a very unbalanced time? Now this has a very deep meaning as to how to maintain our deen in a time when there are challenges facing us almost every day, trying to unbalance us in practicing our deen. Now we have with us, on my right, Brother Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, all the way from Perth. For those of you who don't know him, and I'm sure most of you who are here are already familiar with him, he hails from Perth, but he was born and bred in Canada, Egyptian by descent, an educationist extraordinaire. He lives in Perth with his wife and three children, and he is a Muslim. He's a chaplain in Katin University, and he helps to run a very large Islamic school in the city of Perth. Now, on my left is Brother Nordin Lemo, from another part of the world, from Niger State in Nigeria. Again, no stranger to our shores. He's perhaps most well known for his series of training the trainer, or teaching the Da'i how to da'wah. And he's here on a 2-month tour, and he's currently on a short break from Dhaka, to which he returns after tonight's talk. Thank you for making the effort to be with us. Alhamdulillah. Now, without much further delay, we'll get the thoughts of Brother Yahya, and then we intend to do this on a very short half an hour kind of a talk, as we have two speakers on stage, alhamdulillah, and we hope to have an interactive session on a Q&A after the 1 hour. Now, as a matter of common courtesy, can I ask everyone to please put their handphones on silent and switch it off? Thank you.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We testify with firmness, with conviction, with strength, that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continually remind myself anew of taqwallah azza wa jal, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those who are sincere in piety, more so in private than we appear to be in public. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shines down his grace and his fortune upon us, and makes us from those who are successful in particular in these blessed 10 days of the Hijjah. And I remind myself anew in beginning that one of the key to balance is prioritization. And in these 10 days, the priority of a believer is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ismun jama. It's a collective word, a collective term. لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ It denotes every single thing that Allah loves from an individual. من قول أو فعل أو تصديق بقلب. Whether it's a statement you utter, an action you perform, or even a movement of your heart that you keep, just a belief you have in your heart. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us in these 10 days to be successful in that regard. Allahumma ameen. My topic with you today, I know we have 25 minutes now, right? I'm counting down. Is really an estimation and inshallah a simplified explanation of the dua that is first recorded in the Quran. The first dua, when you open the Quran, the first statement of asking Allah for something has to be significant. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a surah in the Qur'an and He said, this surah, it's short, and it's meaningful, and it's poignant, it has to have some symbolism. And then you hear the Prophet ﷺ describe surah al-Fatiha as, it is a sab' al-mathani, umma al-kitab, as Allah states in the Qur'an and confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ, it means, it is the mother of the book. It is the seven seals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Qur'an, the seven signs that are sent. Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, Sirr al-Islam, the essence of all of our faith, all of Islam is the Qur'an. And the essence of all of the Qur'an is simplified to al-Fatiha. Everything in Islam is in the Qur'an. Everything the Qur'an wants you to understand is in Surah Al-Fatiha. And everything in Surah Al-Fatiha is in your declaration and vow. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you, Allah, will I worship, and only you, Allah, will I ask or seek help and assistance from. The moment you declare this, you are now worthy of requesting something from Allah. خلاص, you are a muwahid, you are a believer. You've set your target. Who are you going to ask? You know who you will ask. You know why you will ask Him. He is Rabbil Alameen. He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is Malik Yawm al-Din. The Lord of all that exists. He's merciful, gracious, the Lord of mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you recognize that how you live your life will be held against you on the day you return to Him, the day you will repay the debt of existence, the master of the day of judgment. So I'm going to worship you, Allah, and I'm only going to ask of you. So what are you going to ask? The request is the discussion that I have with you today. It's about balance. So the first dua recorded in the Quran that you make when you open the Mus'haf is Ihdina. Guide me. To what? As-sirat. To the straight path, the right path. As-sirat. Al-mustaqim. Ihdina. As-sirat. Al-mustaqim. Lead me. Guide me. Show me. All those are words used to translate huda. Lead me. Guide me. Show me. Explain to me. Pass me through. Allow me to pass on to. As-sirat. A straight, long journey, sirat, that is mustaqim, that requires one to remain upright. The sirat, it's straight because it's sirat. You've never seen something straight that needs straightening because it's straight. But it's mustaqim. It helps you to remain upright, and you need to remain upright. When you make this dua, you're actually asking Allah for balance. You're saying, oh Allah, I live in an unbalanced world. There is imbalance everywhere around me. There is imbalance in me. I want to be better, and I know what I need to do better, but I don't do better. I want to pray. I know I should pray, but I don't pray. I want to be a better son, daughter, husband, wife, child. I know I should, but I don't. Why? Istiqamah. A man comes to the Prophet ﷺ, as is narrated in Sahih Muslim, it's also in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلِّي, tell me something. قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْئًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا بَعْدًا. Explain something to me about Islam. I don't need to ask for more knowledge about it from anyone. Once I hear it from you, I will understand it clearly. It's all I will ever need in life. Meaning I want something profound but simple. Expansive but concise. I want something prophetic from you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet says, قُلْ, say, رَبِّي اللَّهُ, my Lord is Allah. Believe in Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then be مُسْتَقِيم. Which is these words in Surah Al-Fatiha. My Lord is Allah. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Istiqamah. Oh Allah, now allow me that second part. Our ummah is called Ummat al-Wasat. The ummah of the middle course. Do you know why? If this is a brick in a building, and it's in the middle of the structure, there's a brick here, a brick there, a brick above it, a brick to the side. It's not just that this brick is protected, but this brick maintains the other bricks. Our aim in life is to be that middle brick, not just to protect ourselves from extremes, going too far or being too negligent, but by us being balanced, everyone who touches us is strengthened by us. Your father is strengthened by you. Your wife is strengthened by you. Your children are upheld by you. Everyone who comes into the sphere of your dunya is maintained because you are balanced. So what's this balance? What's this istiqamah? When we talk about balance, what are the things that we are referring to? We're going to focus, because our Shaykh, Allah barik fi, Shaykh Nuruddin, has a talk after me. So we can't talk about everything, right? He's got a lot to say. So I have 3 points to talk to you about istiqamah, which is balance. See, when you read istiqamah, usually in translations it says upright. Yes, it's upright, but it's about balance. The first type of balance, the first type of balance is that you remain firmly planted, firmly upright, when what is holding you and maintaining you shifts. You know, when you think of earthquakes, there's this strong building, strong structure, immovable structure. You say this condominium, nothing could ever happen to it. But when the earth beneath it shakes, it cracks. And it might crumble. And if it wasn't built on strong foundation, using the right tools, by the right architects and proper engineers, it fails. And when you build iman on false creed, on bid'ah practice of worship, on false notions of halal and haram, on compromises of good and bad, on overlooking things you know you shouldn't. And then the earth shakes. Life changes. It doesn't have to be something bad. It could be something good. You know, when my wife and I, we first got married, the MPF brothers, they could remember. I've been coming, mashallah, to Malaysia for alhamdulillah a few years, right? And I wish to take a moment to acknowledge my dear brother, Al-Marhum, Muhammad Adnan. May Allah have mercy upon him. When I first entered this country, it was due, alhamdulillah, to his voice and invitation over the phone. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him from that day until the day I die for every word I say in this country due to him bringing me here. May Allah write me in his scale on the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. My wife and I, we came. I came as a single man first. My wife and I, then we came. Then we came with Shireen. Then we came with Shireen and Umar. Now we have the three amigos. Yeah. And it's a struggle. At first, it's easy. Hey honey, let's jump in a cab. Let's go shopping. No problem. Hey honey, let's jump in a cab with Shireen and a stroller. Hey honey, let's jump in a cab with a double stroller. Oh wait, no cabs want to stop. No taxis want us. Right? Struggle. Now, Dr. Musa lends me his car. Right? Alhamdulillah. It doesn't have to be something bad that happens. It could be an addition to the family. Husband and wife have a great life. They love each other. MashaAllah, honeymooning. Woo! MashaAllah. All of a sudden, I feel strange. Uh-oh, I feel nauseous. Uh-oh. Alhamdulillah. You're carrying a child. MashaAllah. Get out of the way, I need to go to the bathroom. Where have you been? How could you leave me like this? All of a sudden, your wife now, who is always very easy, can I have cucumbers with ice cream? It's like, what? Where'd you get this? Can I have nasi lemak? And my wife, she doesn't eat nasi lemak. But when she was pregnant, she loved it. Anchovies. Anchovies and then a milkshake. Wow. Crazy. Right? The cracks don't have to appear from a struggle. It could be something that you are blessed with. A new child comes into your life. You used to be a stable husband and wife. And now there's this strain. Not just between you, but even internally. All of a sudden there's postpartum depression. All of a sudden I had something living in me. It's not in me anymore. I don't know how to deal with it. All of a sudden there's something that's feeding off me. I'm responsible for a new human being. Stress. So a person who was mustaqim, as stress is added to their life, and that stress can rock them to the very foundation of their faith. Programs that are run by members of MPF, like orphan care, you know, people, I can't deal with it. I got to visit, alhamdulillah, Dr. Musa's and the great initiatives of Ruma Saliha, young children infected with difficult illnesses and diseases, subhanAllah. Difficult to deal with. It's difficult to deal with normal life. So all of a sudden, the one who was firm, standing up tall, thinking everything in life, alhamdulillah, is well, the earth beneath them shifts. Will they remain tall and standing in obedience still to Allah? Will they remain balanced? Will that loving husband remain a loving husband, a loving wife? Will they learn to re-climatize when the sand beneath their feet has liquefied and has become quicksand and they feel that they are sinking in it? Will the salah that they used to perform maintain them? Were they acquainted with dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of comfort that now when they're in a moment of difficulty, Allah still acknowledges them? Or will they heedless in the dunya and all of a sudden they're brought to their knees and they say, Ya Rab! And Allah says, where have you been before? This is the word of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man lost in the desert, as is narrated in Sahih Muslim. No food or shelter or water, his camel has run away. And he puts his hands up to the only one who can hear. Ya Rab! Ya Rab! My Lord! My Lord! But his clothing was purchased from haram. His food, he was negligent, halal or haram. Ghudhiya bil haram, he nourished and sustained his life in inappropriate and sinful ways. Anna yustajabna. How does that man think now when he's in need, Allah will answer him? So the first moment of balance is that it's easy when we are stable. But when the world begins to tilt beneath us, you become of those who need assistance from Allah. And therefore you hear all of the prophets and all of the salihin that Allah records in the Quran, they would say, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Our Lord, bring down patience into our heart. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Make our feet firm. Because if your feet are not firm upon that straight path, it's not you will fall off it, but you will fall on it. And you will not progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that you wish and think you should. The second form of imbalance and corrective balance is not just that the earth beneath us shakes, but that we are in the middle of that path, we veer slightly off center. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Don't step in the foot marks and footsteps in the athar of the shaytan. Because the shaytan will slowly veer you off the straight path. إِنَّهُ يُرِيدُ. The shaytan, what does he want? يُضِلَّكُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. He wants to take you so far off center that you forget how to come back to the path. ضَلَال, misguidance, the opposite of guidance. How does that happen? Is that one tilts off center. All of a sudden you begin to tilt one way. Think of the tightrope walker. You know those people that tie a rope between two buildings, and they're walking between these two humongous structures, and all of a sudden the wind blows. What do? They tilt. How do they correct themselves? They have to counterbalance. And in life, the wind blows hard, and fitna strikes quickly. And you veer off the path of righteousness easily. And the shaytan vowed to Allah. He didn't say, oh Allah, I'm going to stand on the path of immorality waiting for them. He said, وَعِزَّتِكْ, by your majesty and honor, O Allah, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit in the middle of their straight path. That's why when you open the Quran, the first thing you say is, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. You're not going to do anything sinful. Why are you saying أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ? Because the shaitan is coming for you. You say, Allahu Akbar in salah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. You make the dua of istiftah, and then you say, A'udhu billahi sameen alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Min hamdihi wa nafthihi wa nafthihi. I seek protection from Allah, from the shaytan. Allah is the one who's hearing and seeing. I seek all forms of protection from the shaytan. Why in salah? Because he's coming. To the point that the Prophet ﷺ teaches you, that when you're in salah and the shaytan has distracted you, and you're reading Quran, stop. And say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And you spittle on your left to ask Allah to protect you. Because He's coming for you on the straight path. He's not waiting for you on the way to a club or on the way of sinfulness. He's waiting for you in the Quran. He's waiting for you when you come to pray. He's waiting for you in moments like this, where you've come for Allah and nothing else. He wants to steal that from you. So how do you counterbalance? You're now veering. You know yourself. I know myself. You know yourself. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَدِيثٌ. On the day of judgment, Allah will say, it's enough, you judge yourself. You know yourself, I know myself. And you know where you are moving off the path. You know where you're straying. Have you done any counterbalance? You're going to fall off this tightrope. Are you even attempting to throw yourself back to center? Have you taken any precaution? Have you held that balancing stick that you can leverage yourself again? Are you even going to grab for the rope as you're falling off? Or have you relinquished yourself to fate? I've gone too far. How can I turn back to Allah? Oh my God, if people hear, if people know, something will happen. Life will change it. People will forget. No, you have to make a counterbalance. And you have to put in effort to reclaim ill judgment and sinfulness. Third, and quickly, inshallah, is that in life, in this dunya, as is in the akhirah, you can never take out of it more than you put in it. And therefore, you know, when my wife looks at her bank account, she says, hey, there's imbalance. Right? If you're debiting more than you're crediting, you're not balanced. The account is not balanced. There's a problem. You expect to take out, and you're not putting in. كيف تحكمون? How can you judge? How can you live like that? How can you expect to find mercy and providence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you seek from Him and give nothing in return to Him, meaning through others? Allah will say to you on the Day of Judgment, as is in the Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet says, Allah's going to ask. He's going to say, I was sick. Allah was sick. A'udhu billah. Ta'ala Allahu an dhalik. Listen to the hadith. Allah was sick. How was He sick? And you will say, how can Allah be sick? He will say, my servant who you know was sick and you did not visit him. So you left me sick. I was in poverty. Allah in poverty? You knew that man. You knew that woman was in need. You knew you can help. You knew you're able to assist. And you left that person who is righteous and willing and needing to receive your assistance and you turned away from them. You turned away from me. You have to credit. You say, Ya Allah, my children. And you care nothing about others. There's an ayah in the Quran. My father always would recite it. And I used to not understand when I was younger. I used to hear him, you know, people would say, Ya Hajj Adil, every year you go to Egypt, it's a lot of money. He goes, I spend all my money on my kids. Every year, from my young age, as far as I could remember, we were traveling to Canada and Egypt. So, Egyptians, they say, where did you learn Arabic? Did you learn in university? No, I always knew how to speak Arabic. My parents cared for me. My mother, when I was 3 or 4, I tested her. I was four or five years old. Insolent little boy I was. I know the rule in the house is, اتكلم عربي. احنا عرب. Are you عربي? Yes, and I'm Muslim. Okay, اتكلم عربي. So I walked up and I said, I want milk. She said, oh, we don't have milk. احنا عندنا لبن. We have leaven is milk in Arabic. I never drank leaven for a week because I asked for milk. Oh, you want milk? Go find milk. Care, right? And my father used to recite this ayah. When the people would say, "Ya Hajj Ali, you're spending so much on them, travel, and you're putting them in hotels, and you send Yahya to Saudi Arabia for 3 months, and what's happening here?" And my father said, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father, who may pass away, there's a verse in Surah Al-Kahf, where a father passed away and left behind orphans. And Musa, Allah sent him to cover up the money their father left as inheritance so that no one sees it before those children are old enough to take it. Allah sent a prophet of Allah to build a building for 2 orphans. Why? كان أبوهما صالحا. Their father was a righteous man. All of the imams, when they talk about this ayah, they say he wasn't righteous to his children. He was righteous to
others. He cared for others. So Allah sent those who will care for His children. When you teach others, Allah will teach those whom you care about. When you give to others, maybe in your absence, Allah will send those who will give for you. When you honor others in their absence, Allah will send someone to honor you in your absence. When you stop someone from slandering someone, Allah will send someone to stop them from slandering you. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانَ As you do will be done for you, good and bad. The three points of balance are important. Firmness that remains after what maintains you and sustains you is removed. How do you keep that balance, that first level of balance? How do you keep constant and constancy that irrespective of the conditions of your dunya, you are humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and firm upon faith? Is that in all matters of life and in all conditions of success or what you perceive to be failure, you are content with what Allah has given you. You are happy and pleased with Allah's qadar for you. You believe that in good and bad, there is fortune for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that if the good is not given to you in the dunya, it will be stored for you for the akhirah. So irrespective of who you are, you remain, and where you are, and when you are, you remain a solid rock. You become like Dawood alayhi salam, who makes that dua, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَدْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا Keep us firm, O Allah. Second, counterbalance. Who's going to counterbalance you? Who's going to pull you before you fall off the cliff? Who's going to rein you in? It is your Khalil, your friend. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ stresses so often, Al-mar'u ala deen khalili. A person is upon the condition of their best friend. The one who is an intimate member of their household, they're familiar with them. Who have you surrounded yourself with? Who's in your inner circle that when they see danger for you, it's as if they see it for themselves? Who honors you enough that they would give to you before themselves? That they would put your needs before their wants? They are your counterbalance. Be careful and choosy who you select as the nearest to you and those you confide in. Finally, when you credit, seek Allah and remember that for every good you do, yudha'if. Allah increases it more than you think. Your aim is to do good, 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 in particular to others, others, others. And those who are closer to you are more deserving of it from those who are further away. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was most generous to his family, to Aisha radiallahu anha, to his wives, to his grandchildren, to his children, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He surrounded himself with those who were deserving of that. Credited to those who are near you to increase that love in your home and in your community and in your place. Do you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that all of the imams, all of the four imams, they normally, as a part of their fiqh, do not see it proper to pay the zakah, to pay zakah outside the locality you live in? I know you're going to say, but yeah, Syria, Yaqi. Of course, yes, I'm not telling you don't give to Syria. You can give sadaqah. But zakah, I'm talking about zakah. Do you know what Imam al-Shafi'i would say? Imam al-Shafi'i's opinion was, you shouldn't even, if you were to give it outside your place, it should not be given outside the place where you would start making qasr prayer for your salah. That's how close he wanted it. Like you pay it in your own area. Because those who you live with need you the most. Malaysia needs Malaysians. You gotta invest in your people, invest in your knowledge, put hands together, work and cooperate upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Build this iconic place. You know, 2020, I used to hear about 2020 in 2002.
Now we're getting closer. So the countdown. Where is it? Right? Put your firmness and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Credit. And then when you debit, you will find Allah is most generous in your assistance. I leave you with three hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ما دام العبد في عون أخيه كان الله في عون. The hadith in Sahih Muslim. As long as someone is involved in helping someone, Allah is involved in helping them. When you help someone, Allah is helping you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. Those who are merciful to others, Allah will be merciful to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ما نقص مال من صدقة. Never do you give charity or you spend something or you credit something towards others that it depletes what you gave it from. It always increases you. The salihun, the righteous, when they need money, they give charity. It actually seems strange. Oh my God, I need $1,000. Well, I only got $50. Let me go give it to someone. Weird, right? The believer doesn't save to keep money. The believer shares it to make money. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameena innaka hamidun majid. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts and makes us from those who are accepting to the words of truth. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us successful in this dunya and in the akhirah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes balance in our life and allows us to be from those who are the best of fathers and husbands and wives and daughters. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of the best of employers and employees. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless this wonderful land and its people. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those who are righteous in this dunya, deserving of his rahmah in the akhirah, and honored by him for our love of the Qur'an and its implementation and recitation by night. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Excuse me for going a little bit over time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.